and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Crews are still combing through the rubble at a Latter-day Saints church in Blank, Michigan, after police say a local man drove his car through the front doors, opened fire, then set the church on fire, killing at least four people. Police Chief William Renier says some died protecting others.
They were shielding the children who are also present within the church, moving them to safety.
Democratic leaders meet with President Trump today to try to avert a government shutdown tomorrow night. Virginia Senator Tim Kaine on CBS's Face the Nation.
The only thing about the president's threat to fire more people is he's already doing it. And instead of threatening, he should just be meeting to negotiate.
The state of Oregon is suing to try to stop the president from sending in the National Guard. Governor Tina Knowles.
Putting our own military on our streets is an abuse of power and a disservice to our communities and our service members.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The check is in the mail for a lot of people impacted by the floods. FEMA says in a statement that more than $28 million has already gone out to help families hit by the August flooding. FEMA says over 3,800 households have received assistance, including help with housing and other expenses. Officials remind everyone to first file an insurance claim before turning to FEMA. Homeowners are also being told to check furnaces and heating systems for water damage that could be eligible for help. For those still having trouble with housing, temporary assistance may be available. The deadline to apply for FEMA individual aid is November 12th. Some folks will need a new place to procure their coffee. Starbucks closed two area locations this weekend due to sluggish sales. The stores on Mayfair Road in Wauwatosa and Brown Deer Road in Fox Point are no longer operating. It's part of a wider move where Starbucks is closing about 1% of its North American stores and laying off around 900 non-retail workers. Even a tie against Dallas isn't going to put off these fans. No Packers, No Life is not just a sentiment shared by diehard Packers fans, but the name of a new movie coming out. Connie Feldman has more.
The documentary-style movie follows a passionate group of superfans, not in Wisconsin, but in the heart of Tokyo, who live, breathe, and bleed green and gold. From 4 a.m. kickoff parties to Lambeau pilgrimages, the movie features a group of Japan's most dedicated cheeseheads as they chase the dream across time zones and oceans. The movie trailer on YouTube describes it like this: heartfelt, hilarious, and wildly unexpected, No Packers, No Life is a celebration of fandom, friendship, and the unshakable belief that you don't have to be born in Green Bay to call it home. Producers say the movie opens statewide in Marcus Theaters on October 17th.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
An overtime that ends in a tie. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Dallas, where the Packers and the Cowboys played a full overtime period and Green Bay kicking a field goal to end the game in a 40-40 tie. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on why he's disappointed heading into the bye.
It's disappointing. Just too many critical mistakes that led to that tie. Give Dallas credit. They did a great job offensively, you know, moving the ball down the field. But there's a lot of things that we all have to clean up, starting with myself. I mean, we were trying to be aggressive at the end of the half. That really bit us in the butt.
Baseball, the Brewers with a 4-2 win at home Sunday over the Cincinnati Reds to close out the regular season with 97 wins, a new franchise record.
You know, I'm glad that this team gets to be remembered differently. You know, I'm not into records necessarily, but it's a way for the 2025 to be recognized differently.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The WAUK Text to Win contest, sponsored by Horizons Law Group, where they educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best. HorizonsLaw.com.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will get a recap of all the weekend news with Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman. And we're going to talk about PFAS in Wisconsin Ducks with David Drake. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Monday morning, September 29th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or catching us on YouTube, Facebook, podcast, however you got here. It's nice of you to start your work week right here, where maybe you're a little more tuckered out than others, or maybe not. Maybe you were a little wiser than that. So I got a question for you. Aren't you glad you didn't stay awake for that stinkeroo? Huh, Parker? Parker Olson, producer. Aren't you glad you didn't stay up for that mess? Boy, do I feel better that I went to bed. Aren't you glad? Parker, wake up. Parker.
Pat.
You stayed up for the game. You stayed up for the overtime.
I stayed up for that freaking game.
A tie
in which Matt LaFleur did all the stupid things he's been doing stupidly for a long, stupid time. And I feel stupid for having stayed up for such a stupidly long amount of time. And Pat, I had slept on a couch on Saturday night, so I wasn't well rested to begin with on Sunday.
This all sounds stupid.
It's very stupid, Pat.
It was a stupid Sunday for Parker and for Packers clock management and all the other things to end up in a 40-40 tie. Now,
yep.
I went to bed after the Packers scored and made it 20-16, and I.
So you woke up and went, oh.
I went up, woke up myself 40-40 time, like, oh man, good call out of you. So I had a full weekend as it was. I was at the Brewer game Saturday night, and you know, some traveling over the weekend, of course, down there to see you guys on Friday. So I was ready Sunday night to go, especially.
Yeah.
I mean, the first half was not, well, it was stupid too. It was not pretty. I mean, it just wasn't. And so I did not feel like, oh, this game's going to get more exciting and better, and I'm going to want to stay up for that. No, Roger will not answer our question. He says, I'll take the fifth. Yes. It's a good call, Roger. It was, I would love to have come on and said, wow, I'm so sorry I missed it. What a big comeback. Always great to beat Dallas, but that just wasn't in the cards based on the play that we were seeing. And by the way, not the fault of the offensive line. I thought was going to be the weak point. I thought the offensive line was going to let Jordan Love get sacked 14 times. It didn't happen. The problems were, you know, Jordan Love getting, you know, fumbling when he got sacked. And you know, apparently Matt LaFleur, very bad clock management. But not the offensive line this time.
Not the offensive line this time. No, weird decision to try to sneak in an extra possession at the end of the half there.
Yes.
That was...
And of course, special teams allowing that extra point, which, I mean, to me, it all, it all comes down to that. I know it's more than that, but in my mind, you know, an extra point should be a gimme. And it things aren't a gimme because you don't do anything. Things are a gimme because you know the things to do. You know the people to block. And when you let somebody come in, block the extra point, return it for a touchdown, and that's, you know, that's a swing right there. Instead of you getting an extra point, they get 2 points, and the game ends in a tie. Yeah. Well, I'm just going to look at that.
A 3-point swing really does something there. Yeah.
It was not good. And then apparently what I missed in overtime was that one of the Packers was tackled inbounds on a play that started with 28 seconds left, and they didn't get another snap until 6 seconds were left. I can only imagine the screaming at TVs that were going on at that point. Matt LaFleur said after the game, I think that goes to the level of detail that we're not where we need to be. The operation was just way too slow. I don't know if our guys didn't know we were in a 2-minute or what. No, I think they do. I think they can read, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then they took a shot. I don't know why they took a shot to the end zone on that. That was even dumber because then the ball hit the ground with 1 second left.
Yeah, they caught a break there. Romeo Doubs caught all three of Jordan Love's touchdown passes, finished with 58 yards on 6 catches. So 58 yards on 6 catches, not good, but 3 touchdown passes, real good.
Very good.
So take it. Josh Jacobs rushed for 2 touchdowns, finished with 157 yards. Love threw for 337 yards. He did not look bad, you know, but there was definitely room for improvement.
They put up 40 points, 37. Yeah, that's a great game.
You can't give up 40 points. You just can't. So we can let this one go because the Packers are now in a bye week, which is interesting because it felt like a bye week before because we had that Thursday night game and then
the plates kind of later on.
Yeah. And now we've got an entire bye week. The Packers will next play at home on Sunday, October 12th. That's a 3:25 start. So. We can either dwell on this game and the loss to Cleveland for the next 2 weeks, or we can just let it go and cheer for the Brewers. That's my choice.
I'm choosing to wash this one out.
Yeah. Yeah. Just flush it. Let it go. The Brewers won their regular season finale 4-2 over Cincinnati to avoid a sweep. Final record of 97 wins and 65 losses, best in team history, best in baseball this year, which I know all of us who are Brewers fans who watch a lot of the games, we still have a tough time wrapping our head around. We were the best team in baseball this year.
It's weird because we're so young.
We're so young. Not everyday household names, you know, but you had those streaks. I mean, those three big winning streaks that accounted for 33 wins. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Danny Jansen hit a 2-run homer yesterday. Trevor McGill made his first appearance back from an injury. He looked pretty good. And then the Reds hung around in the locker room and they clinched the final playoff spot after the New York Mets finished a collapse for the ages. Matched or exceeded only by the Detroit Tigers collapse for the ages. But at least Detroit is still in the playoffs, but they're not division champions. They managed to just completely lose an ironclad grasp of the American League East, and instead they did grab a wild card spot. But the New York Mets, second highest payroll in baseball, and it's going to be another long winter for New York baseball.
And now Pete Alonso says he wants out. He's not going to take his option.
No. So tough. Sorry, Mets. Let's see. Oh, some other good news for a former Brewer. At some point, we'll stop being happy for Willie Adames, but Willie Adames hit his 30th home run
for
San Francisco.
Hold up. We're never going to stop being happy for Willie Adames.
Okay, we're happy for him personally, but I mean, at some point, it's going to be, that guy in the San Francisco Giants. But you talk about former Brewers, Willie Adames getting 30 home runs. The Giants haven't had a 30 home run hitter since 2004, so that's cool.
I couldn't believe that.
And then the other one, Stephen Vogt. Former Brewer Stephen catcher, now manager of the Cleveland Guardians, who win the American League Central, overcoming the Detroit Tigers. Stephen Vogt, just one of the real good guys out there.
I forgot that he was their manager. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Just, you know, congratulations to him and to Cleveland and to Tony and all of our favorite Cleveland fans out there. And, you know, condolences to all the Houston Astros fans because Houston, you got eliminated in the last weekend of the series.
That's a shame.
And then the Cubs Padres, they have the wild card series and the Brewers will take on the winner of that series this weekend. I'll give you the whole schedule here, but first I have to say, from being at the game on Saturday, which was a lot of fun. Brewers lost, but again, we weren't holding out high hopes. But I was there for a couple of weeks now. We've been saying we need to put Jacob Mizorowski in the bullpen. We need him to come out of the bullpen and come out strong out of the bullpen. And we got to see him coming out of the bullpen and it just implode. It was not good.
Wasn't great.
It was a 6-run inning when all was said and done. So
yeah,
he's got some time to work on that this week.
He does.
So let me tell you about the Cubs and the Padres, since we're going to play the winner of that series. So they've got a 3-game wild card series at Wrigley Field. And nobody did them any favors on the TV schedules. No primetime games for them. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 2 p.m. So 3-day games at Wrigley Field. So, for Cubs fans, that'll be fun if they can win out of two out of three.
30 years ago, everyone would have said, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. It's Wrigley. It's a day game. That's how it works.
Yeah, that's fine. So whichever team gets 2 out of 3 there will be at American Family Field on Saturday, playing the Brewers in the National League Division Series, in one of the series. So game one will be this coming Saturday. Game two will be a week from today, next Monday, both of those games in Milwaukee. And then game three will be Wednesday of next week in either Chicago or San Diego. It's a best of 5. So 3 out of 5. So we've got the games coming this Saturday, then next week, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, if necessary. So there's the setup for the Brewers. Let's see, the Badger football team was off. Thank you. We need that.
And somehow Saturday, they still lost by 2 touchdowns.
Saturday, they are in Ann Arbor to take on Michigan. So you'll be able to hear that pregame starting at 9 a.m. Saturday on some stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. And some good news for the Badger women's volleyball team as well. On Friday, they swept Rutgers at home to open the Big Ten season. Then yesterday, they swept Iowa on the road to go to 9-1. The 7th-ranked Badger women volleyball team will host Illinois this Thursday evening at 7 at the Fieldhouse. And there you are, up to date on sports.
There you go.
A whole lot of sports over the weekend. So
this is true.
And more to follow this week. I mean, with some playoff baseball. We just won't have to think about the Packer game for a while.
Yeah. You know, somebody yelled, a Reds fan yelled at me. Near me. While leaving the Brew game on Saturday. That you guys are gonna lose in the first round. And I yelled back at him, and we're not in the first round. You are.
That was nice. That was a good comeback out of you. All right. By the way, classy job by the American Family Field folks. Cincinnati, clinched their spot afterwards while they were in the locker room. And then they later came out for a team photo. I don't know if you saw that, but the
I did, yeah,
American cool. Family Field, they put up a nice, it's like it was a home game for Cincinnati, a big, playoff Cincinnati Reds banner on the scoreboard for their backdrop, which was nice. We're just so nice here in the Midwest.
Well, yeah, of course.
To do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And it's the Reds. It's not like it's the Cubs. I don't feel bad about the Reds.
Yeah, I don't think we would have done it for them. I mean, all things in moderation, right? So, all right. A reminder to sign up for our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe up in the top banner there. Parker celebrating a big day today. It's National Coffee Day. So you can look for coffee specials at some of your favorite shops. By the way, in case you were wondering about the guy that said he was going to bring down inflation on day one, the average price for a pound of ground roast coffee is now $8.87. That's up 40% from a year ago, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So also in the newsletter today, Bucky's is coming to Oak Creek at 73,000 square feet. It will be the largest convenience store in the world. Convenience in quotation marks. 120 gas pumps. That's not a large convenience store. It's a little Walmart. And it's definitely not a quick trip to go visit it. See what I did there? And then, of course, in our newsletters, you can sign up for our Sunday morning newsletter, where my question of the week was, who will cave when it comes to a potential government shutdown this week? Democrats, Republicans, will Trump cave, or will Republicans actually snub Trump and work out a deal that he'll veto, but Republicans join Democrats to override it? to end the shutdown. You can get all that and more by signing up for our newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. Bill Berrien has dropped out of the governor's race. We'll talk about how he went about burying his campaign coming up from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Wrightlum. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Maine voters decide November 4th whether adding more ID and mail-in voting restrictions for most voters justifies preventing almost non-existent voter fraud. Question 1 tightens voter ID requirements and adds hurdles for mail-in voters, including the elderly and disabled, despite only 2 voter fraud convictions since 1982. About half of Maine's over 842,000 2024 voters used a mail-in ballot, and over 16,000 subscribed to an ongoing absentee voter list, according to the state's September 2025 figures. If approved, question 1 would eliminate the absentee list and prohibit requesting an absentee application by phone. It also prohibits third parties from delivering absentee ballot applications, including family members, and limits drop boxes. Maine's population is the oldest in the U.S., with 21.8% of residents over 65. Question 1 also narrows Maine's voter ID options, eliminating student IDs, tribal IDs, and other currently acceptable documents, despite no evidence of abuse. At almost 75%, Maine consistently has one of the highest voter turnouts in the country, and the Heritage Foundation's own figures show just 2 convictions for voter fraud in over 40 years. We have the text of question 1 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Did you know 1 out of 5 adults worry about their mental health? It's Suicide Prevention Month, and talking saves lives. Call 988 anytime for support. A message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On the program, our usual Tuesday guests, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, who has the Below the Beltway newsletter direct from the nation's capital. But never mind tomorrow. I haven't told you what's coming up yet today. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along in just a bit. She had a busy weekend, and we'll hear about her getting together with some of her old rodent buddies in Gopherland. Selena Heller will be here, and she has a report about public pensions, public employee pensions, and how in Iowa, Republican politicians have been working to undermine that. Is that something we should be watching warily from over here in Wisconsin? We'll talk to author Laura Bird. This week will mark a National Day of Remembrance and Reconciliation for the tragedy that was Native American boarding schools in this state, and there are several books that she recommends to learn more about it. We will have a guest at 7:35 talking about artificial intelligence and AI cybersecurity. Apparently, the amount of phishing emails being generated by AI and being made to look more and more real and fool more and more people is extremely concerning. And so we'll talk about the things that you can look out for. And if you're connected to a business in some way, shape, or form, what that business ought to be doing to try to avoid phishing scams. We'll have Jane Mattinair telling us what's coming up on her program. We will also have in our next hour the Go for the Green and Gold contest keyword of the morning. We'll have a keyword coming up after 7 o'clock. You'll have to text it to us before 8 o'clock, and that'll be the first of 7 opportunities to enter the contest, where you can get cash and jewelry as daily prizes and the grand prize ticket package to see Green Bay versus Minnesota, a Green Bay home game, a little football to be played in November with some great indoor seats, a wonderful prize package to tell you about. Again, that is right after the 7 o'clock news. All right. Well, on Friday, there were some changes to the 2026 candidate field already, which I know feels weird because it feels like candidates are still getting in, and they are. There are more candidates to come yet in these races, but a couple of candidates have already exited. In the 3rd Congressional District in Western Wisconsin and part of Central Wisconsin, there have been 3 Democrats who have been looking to take out Derek Van Orden next year in the general election. But first, you have to get through a primary in August of next year. And those include Becca Cook, who ran against Van Orden last time around. There's Emily Berge, the Eau Claire City Council president. And there's Laura Benjamin, also of Eau Claire and a former Eau Claire City Council member. And Laura Benjamin announced on Friday that she was suspending her campaign. And then the bigger news came out of the race for governor, where Bill Berrien has dropped out of the race. The businessman who appeared to be an unlikely candidate for governor from the beginning became less so each time he tried to answer questions. And then especially when he tried to answer questions about his web browsing history, which again, in and of itself, it's not a bad thing. It's a different thing when you demonize certain people and then it turns out that that's a part of your web browsing history. That was Bill Berrien when it came to the transsexual community. So Bill Berrien put out a statement that said, quote, "After hunting down war criminals in Bosnia as a Navy SEAL platoon leader, I had no idea that running for political office could be almost as dangerous." Berrien said he considers himself very intellectually curious, believing it to be a strength to show broad intellectual interest. The media cherry-picked a handful of individuals and articles that came across my social media feed that I then followed without the faintest clue as to an author's lifestyle choices 6 or 7 years ago, and painted a salacious and sensational picture that was clearly targeted to force me out of this governor's race. I respond, "No, sweetie, nobody forced you out. You did that all by yourself. You ran on a platform of targeting people for scorn, and potential government targeting had you won. You referred to transsexual people as engaging in, quote, radical social experimentation. Well, part of the process of learning about new candidates for office is to ask questions and see what kind of a record they've made of themselves. Sometimes it's the words that we say and write. Sometimes it's the actions that we take. Not knowing at the time that we'll be a candidate someday, but the record is there just the same. And in the internet age, that includes the things you choose to follow publicly. So candidates' past interests come up and show what could be construed as hypocrisy. It actually gives you an opportunity. It's a free window to clarify your values." And Bill Berrien could have simply acknowledged curiosity. Bill Berrien could have referenced a desire to learn more about a vulnerable group so that he could potentially be an ally to them as governor. That's not what he did. Instead, he lashed out and he blamed others and gave us this baloney about cherry picking and the media. And then said running for office is almost as dangerous as being a Navy SEAL platoon leader. I got to say that between his candidacy and what we've seen out of Derek Van Orden, Navy SEALs are going to have a tough time running for office in the future if this is the caliber of candidates that they get. Thank you for your service. You're tough people. You're brave people. But again, that doesn't automatically make you a great candidate or a congressman or a governor. Same goes for Bill Berrien's business experience. It may be very laudable, may be noteworthy, may be successful. That's not enough of a qualification to make you governor, much less the candidate for governor who can win over the most voters. Politics actually is harder than a lot of people want to acknowledge. it takes work, and running for governor without serving at any other office level first is not something that most people would recommend who've been inside there. So, Bill, you are in charge of burying your own campaign. We wish you well in the future. Coming up next, today's history lesson and more TV tunes. Yep, it's another TV tune quiz coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
540 WAUK, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Dairy producers thought changes to the federal milk marketing orders would improve their position in the marketplace. It hasn't. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news, and their voices are being heard in Washington, D.C. Zippy Duvall is the president of the American Farm Bureau Federation.
The news is not good when it comes to what we call make allowance. The make allowance determines what is deducted from farmers' check to help pay for the cost of processing. In just 3 months, America's dairy farmers have lost more than $337 million because of the increase in make allowances. USDA is now required to survey processors' costs every other year, but has yet to announce a timeline. We urge USDA to move quickly to schedule the new cost survey so that future hearings reflect the actual processing costs.
Zippy Duvall, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. What happened to the dairy markets on Friday? I've got numbers next.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel, all in, all season.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped 2.25 cents to 162.25. 40-pound block cheese down 1.25 cents, 162.5. But AA butter on Friday finished the week another 8 cents stronger at $1.72 per pound. This morning in Chicago, October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 7, $16.86. November up 21 at $16.39. Currently, December new crop corn, that's down 1 cent, stands at $4.21. November new crop beans, down 3.5 at $10.10. July wheat, currently up 0.5 at $5.61 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Monday trade session. Remember, World Dairy Expo 2025 officially opens to the general public tomorrow morning starting at 9 a.m. Follow the Midwest Farm Report team at MidwestFarmReport.com or any of the social media streams you follow. I'm Pam Yonke.
The 540 WAUK Text to Win contest is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Well, here we go. Today's history lesson starts out by marking the 81st birthday of TV theme composer Mike Post. He has written themes for the A-Team, as you heard there. He's written TV themes for The White Shadow, NYPD Blue, LA Law, Quantum Leap, The Greatest American Hero, Black Sheep Squadron, Blossom, Hardcastle and McCormick, Hunter, News Radio, Wise Guy, and many more. In fact, let's see if you can name some of Mike Post's better-known themes. That's right. It's time for another edition of TV Tunes Pop Quiz. Here's our contestant. She's a gal from Kakana who traveled to the big city of Minneapolis, dressed up as a rodent for sports events, and now delivers babies and is known internationally for telling right-wing politicians to get the hell out of her exam room. It's Dr. Kristen Lyerly, everybody.
Well, hey, everybody. I thought maybe it was Mr. T's birthday.
No, nothing like that. It's Mike Post and all of his TV themes. And if Selena jumps in here, we'll let her take part in the little contest as well.
Oh,
and
hey, I'm going to need some help.
You can play along at home by texting us through the Civic Media app or putting something in the Facebook or the YouTube comments.
Please.
For absolutely no prize, because we just made this up and we don't have a budget for this bit. So
please do it. Please.
I've got four more Mike Post TV themes to share. Let's see if you can name them. Contestant Kristen Lyerly, are you ready?
No, I'm not.
You are more than you know. Here is Mike Post tune number one.
Oh, I think that they're doing a dance to this on TikTok right now. It's SVU, yes. Right?
Yes, it's Law and Order. SVU is one of them. Yes, we'll accept that. There you go. Here's Mike Post TV theme number two.
Oh, I definitely know that, but I cannot tell you what it is.
If I told you James Garner was the star, would that help at all?
Oh, the Rockford Files.
There you go. Very nice. Look at you. Two for two. All
yay.
Right. Here we go. Here's Mike Post TV theme number three.
These songs are so groovy.
Helicopter. Think big bushy mustache.
Is it Magnum PI?
Yes, it is. There you go. Three for three.
That was definitely one that did not even come through my brain before it came out of my mouth. It came right from the gut.
There you go. It was Tom Selleck. It was a shirtless Tom Selleck that did. It does it for everybody.
I understand. Hi. Yeah, the mustache.
Here we go. Mike Post TV theme number four. Cop Show, 1980s.
St. Elsewhere?
No, Hill Street Blues. I'm sorry. Oh, you were so close.
Yep.
And this last one, I'm thinking either you're definitely getting this one or not. It's chosen just for you.
Good odds there.
Mike Post TV theme number five.
This is ER, isn't it?
Nope. We're close. Good guess.
It's a medical show, though.
Of course it is, yes.
Because of the pinging.
Yes. Huh? With a very young doctor.
Doogie Howser.
There you go. Congratulations. You got four out of five there.
Ish.
ish with, with some clues. Yes. Tony
remember
on YouTube.
Back like, in the day.
Missed his calling as a TV game show host. No, Pat started as a TV game show host.
Oh, really?
At the college TV station at UW Eau Claire. Yes. That was the host of their Family Feud knockoff, Wing Feud, where wings of roommates from different dorms would compete against each other.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
Oh, if only it were like now, where there would actually be some footage and we'd be able to see it.
There is footage.
There is footage.
It's buried somewhere. I'm sure it's not on YouTube and may never leave my basement. We'll see. But that is also how I knew early on in college that Sherry was the right one for me. Because we had a knockoff version of the Newlywed Game called the Roommate Game, where you and your roommate come on and you are asked questions about each other, like the Newlywed Game.
We had one.
Well, Sherry and I, one of the roommate groups didn't show up. And so for comedy relief, they put me and Sherry on. We're not roommates. We're living in two different dorms. We hardly know each other. We just started dating, and yet we won. We got all the questions right about each other.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know. So yeah, I've got a little game show stuff. How are you, by the way? You had a busy weekend.
Super busy weekend, but so much fun. And to Jim in Brookfield, first of all, I hope you're healing well from your new knee. Second of all, I did, in fact, give Goldie Gopher a high five because as I was going to the tailgate, the game started at 11. I, of course, was getting there at 7 because I'm a Packer fan. I know how to tailgate.
Who
comes flying down University Avenue on some sort of a scooter with Goldie's face, but some person who is probably Goldie's special assistant with a big duffel bag slung over his back. So I go chasing after him like a crazy person on my crutches.
Yes.
And he stopped and we chatted for a little while. He took a picture. I gave him a high five. So mission accomplished.
Yes, you did.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
This crazy stalker lady was chasing me.
Oh yeah. He definitely looked over his shoulder a couple times as he kept going. I'm like, no way. Just seriously. There's it. Please.
Oh. Look at that. All right. Another TV theme in today's history lesson. This one not written by Mike Post, but it was a TV show that premiered this day in 1982.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Well, this one's so familiar.
It is hard to Cheers. Premiered this day 43 years ago. How can that be?
Have you been to the Cheers bar?
No, have not. We did on it like a bus tour in Boston, you know, we drove past it, but of course they're like, there's 100 people waiting in line on the sidewalk to get in. Like, no, we'll just keep going. It's okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Now I've got a movie soundtrack for you here. On this day in 1977, a group named Miko had a number one hit with their version of one of the tunes from the original Star Wars movie. Of course, was the Cantina Band theme from Star Wars. This day in 1977 was the number one song in the country.
Yeah. Huh. It was just the beginning. We had no idea what Star Wars would become.
No idea. It was this cute little movie, you know, in space. We're not going to hear about it after this year. We were wrong. On this day in 1963, the Rolling Stones got their first concert tour as an opening act. That's a pretty cool Rolling Stones opening for Bo Diddley and the Everly Brothers. There's a lineup.
Wow. Although you can kind of see the evolution there.
Oh, yeah.
With the book. Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That would have been great. Yes. We're going to go way up to 1990 now. The number one song 35 years ago today was by the hair band Nelson.
I can't live without your love and affection.
Are you looking at the video clip there? Do you realize they could be any one of these three could be Kristen right now, Kristen Wiley, or either one of the Nelson brothers, the exact same hair?
They're twins.
Blonde hair.
They're twins.
Very much.
They're Ricky Nelson's kids.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And their sister Tracy was in Squarepants. Ask me a question about the Nelson family. I don't know why. Nelson family trivia. Hey.
See, that's the trivia question. There you go. Show I should have been ready for. The Las Vegas Sphere opened on this day in 2023 with a concert by U2. So 2 years ago was that. And I've got a text line coming in for you. Jim from Brookfield says, thank you, Dr. Lyerly, for tracking down Goldie for a high five, one of the Big Ten's better mascots.
Yay! Thanks, Jim.
All right, let's see. On this day in 1977, Billy Joel released a little album, this studio album, Stranger. It did all right. Songs like title track and She's Always a Woman, Only the Good Die Young, Moving Out, Vienna, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, sold more than 12 million copies. So I guess it did all right.
You know, there's a great documentary, a rockumentary about Billy Joel. I think it's on Apple.
I can't believe I haven't watched it yet. I have to watch this.
It's so good. I love those rockumentaries that don't like sugarcoat things and they talk about like the grit and the real life stuff. And this one does that. And I loved every minute of it.
I just keep forgetting to sit down and watch that thing. So I can do that. I was thinking of maybe watching last night's Packer game, that the parts that I missed because I recorded the game when I went to bed, but I clearly won't need to do that, so that's just fine. And finally, on this day, 41 years ago, the number one song was by Prince. All right, on the national day calendar, we've noted that it is National Coffee Day, which is a day of mourning for Parker because he does not take part, but you got a day of nothingness for you. No coffee there.
This is a
regular
day. Every
day is a morning day for Parker.
That's true.
Right. Morning.
Yeah. Morning. Kristen's got her favorite coffee. We did it. I know we asked you before if you have a favorite coffee spot in your neck of the woods that you like to plug.
Mm-hmm. Kavarna Coffee on the west side of Green Bay. Love that place.
Yep. And I don't know what they have, but a whole lot of other coffee shops have specials going on today. So if you've got a favorite coffee shop, if you don't stop there every day, maybe today is the day to do that and find yourself a deal. I got a deal on a coffee or on a mug. I got that Quick Trip mug. Did you get a Quick Trip mug at the Brewer game Saturday, Parker?
I did. I was very happy about it. Did you?
Yep. Yes, I did too. Yeah. Very nice. And I was going to show up at like every Quick Trip on the way home yesterday from Madison and stop and just impress people like, ooh, you got the new Brewers mug.
Now, see, yes, I do. I read it wrong, and I thought that we could use that in the stadium. So I like brought it with, I realized it before we got somewhere, but yeah, I was a little disappointed with that.
No, you get to use it every day after this, though. Let's see. Today is International Awareness of Food Loss and Waste.
Oh, that is interesting.
That is a good one, especially
because we waste like half of the food that we buy.
Yes. So, you know, if you can do, composting or just be more aware of the food you're throwing away, that's a good thing.
Oh, wait. Shout out to Rooted in Green Bay that takes that food that otherwise would go in the garbage or in the compost and repurposes it and makes sure that people get to eat it. How about that?
There you go.
That is good. Yes.
Twofer.
Let's see. It's World Heart Day. So take good care of your heart. That's all we
good can. Day to make your preventive care appointment.
Oh, very good. Go. See? Yeah, I knew there'd be an angle from you. Mm-hmm. And this is also Silent Movie Day. The jazz singer from, what was it, 1927 premiered this week. What was the movie that won like all these Academy Awards and things? It was a silent movie like about 5 years ago.
Oh yeah, I didn't watch it. The
I didn't
artist,
either.
The Bert? Something.
The artist, right? I think that's what it was.
Something like that. It was black and white too, wasn't it?
Yeah, and everybody thought, "Oh, this is so revolutionary." But is it going to bring back silent movies? No, it did not. Yeah. It turns out we actually like having sound on our movies, kind of like on the radio. We can't do silent radio; it doesn't work well that way.
It's pretty hard to do that well.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Some people would say it's better though, depending on the show.
Depends on the program. Yeah, debatable.
Absolutely. There are warnings.
Yes. Still coming up, we'll be visited by Selena Heller from Up North News, who is going to tell us about a story that she's working on for our sister outlet in Iowa about Republican attacks on the public employee retirement system and whether we could see something like that here in Wisconsin someday. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on 540 WAUK. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize. $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize. Two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota. Download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. Complete rules at civicmedia.us. Sponsored in part by Pickleball Kingdom, a half mile north of Silver Spring off Pilgrim, Menominee Falls.
The green and gold, tailgating the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Good morning, happy Monday, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. Here at Civic Media, we pride ourselves on fact-based, unbiased journalism. We want to get the stories to you, the ones that affect you and your community the most. And we do that through partnerships with various news sources as well, including the Racine County Eye. And WRJN's Don Rosen sat down with their owner and operator and the lady, I guess, who also sweeps out the closets, Denise Lockwood, to talk about a new facility, a big event, and that super hot topic, data centers.
Here's one of our news partners, Racine County Eye, Denise Lockwood, owner, founder of Racine County Eye. You've got some big news, first of all, about the physical place of Racine County Eye. You just moved into new digs. Let's talk about those first.
Well, we're actually moving in. I've got the keys now, and we're moving in. We'll be formally all in on October 1st. So we're moving into the Bell City Square complex, which is the old Horlick Malted Milk Factory. My building is 1926 Albert Street, right to the, it's building right next to the Inclusive Bean, just to the right of it, as you're looking at the front of the building. And it's about 1,900 square feet. And what we're doing is we've got two spaces. One is going to be our newsroom. The other is going to be called the Thought Collective. And we're going to start hosting a lot of events around thought leadership.
Thoughts.
Scary, right?
Well, it's not scary.
Well, I think one of the things.
I think they're in short supply.
I think so, too. So one of the things that I was really thinking a lot about how to help the community, and it was really about connection, not only to the highest and best thinking, but around specific topics that affect us every single day, but also getting people in the room together that may not always get along. So we'll see if Ma and Pa can get along. We'll see. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Before we forget, I want to make sure. Talk about your family farm now. It's out. You're done. You're not in the farm business anymore, right?
No. Mom and Dad sold the farm a year ago, actually, just this past week. But, yeah, they've both been in the hospital. They moved to Florida, and I was there last week. Thought I'd have a really great week of peace and calm before the storm of moving all my stuff. And I ended up getting COVID, so there is that. But both my mom and dad, I told them before I left, I said, go get tested. And they ended up testing negative, but they were both in the hospital. My dad's still in the hospital.
You know, and prayers for your dad. But, you know, I found out when the big COVID thing happened 5 years ago, you were afraid to get COVID because you said, oh, COVID, I'm going to die if I get COVID. Now you get COVID, it's like getting a bad cold for a couple of days, and that's about it. Talking about COVID and being well, you are sponsoring the Wellness Expo coming up on September 30th at the Fountain Hills Banquet Hall. It's called Aging Well, the Aging Well Expo. And I'm in that age group now, believe it or not.
Me too, actually. I'm 55, so I'm getting to that point where I need to pay a lot more attention to how I'm aging so that I can make sure that I'm a consistent thorn in my parents' side.
You know you're getting old when you sneeze and your back goes out.
Yes, right.
Or you sneeze and go, ow!
Yeah, so Aging Well is an expo for people, and it's free, by the way. And really, it's meant to help people, you know, meet themselves where they are and also improve, you know, what other things that they may have going on in their life, from making sure that you get your hearing tested so we can hear each other very well, to like ADARC, the Aging Disability and Resource Center is going to be there. They have some fabulous support services, and also just, you know, making sure that our aging does go well, right? We also are going to have everything from like window companies to leaf guard and things along that line. So we want to make sure that we're aging not only well, but in the place that we want to be, right? So we want to make sure our homes are free from hazards that cause us any problems like falling and things along that line. Because it's super important, super important.
And what are some of the stories we're keeping an eye on? Because there's always something changing around here. And you said Microsoft is one of the top stories now.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Microsoft, you know how they have the property out in Mount Pleasant, and they're actually they're shifting the expansion of that property. Now they're looking at a second data center in Caledonia. It's a property that is right across the street from the We Energies plant on Highway 32. And what's really interesting about this particular property is We Energies owns the property. And the reason why they own that property is primarily because a lot of the people that used to live around We Energies, their land was contaminated. They had molybdenum in their water. There was a lot of issues, and I covered that for quite some time. And now there's about 250 acres of property that used to be owned by residents of Caledonia, now owned by We Energies. Now they are looking to sell that property on contingency of approvals for the data center. And the timeline is very preliminary at this point, and I want to make that very clear. There was an open house last night. There was also a public hearing on Tuesday night, and there's a lot of pushback around this.
You want to find out more from the Eye? Go to RacineCountyEye.com to read their stories, to support their journalism, because local community journalism is what keeps us informed on the things that impact us the most. If you want to hear that entire interview, go to civicmedia.us/shows, and you can download it directly to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to waukradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. An investigation underway after officials say a local man drove his car through the front doors of a Latter-day Saints church near Flint, Michigan, opened fire, then set the place on fire, killing four people before he was killed by police. FBI Special Agent in Charge Reuben Coleman.
The FBI is now leading the investigation and is investigating this as an act of targeted violence.
Congressional leaders meet with President Trump today on avoiding a government shutdown. Republican Rand Paul tells Face the Nation he can't go along with either party.
I oppose the Republican plan because it adds debt. The Democrat plan would add $3 trillion in debt. So really, both plans are laden with deficit spending.
Oregon's filed suit against the Trump administration after the president ordered 200 National Guard troops into Portland. Mayor Keith Wilson.
President Trump has directed all necessary troops to Portland, Oregon. The number of necessary troops is zero in Portland and any other American city.
CBS News.